Becoming a Geek Leader.
Welcome to the Becoming a Geek Leader podcast. My name is Tom Cooper. As a geek, I'm on a mission to figure out better ways to lead others at work and at home. Through the Becoming a Geek Leader podcast, I'm sharing what I'm learning so I can help make you more effective at leading people too. Ready? Hey, it's Tom Cooper here, and I've got a special episode today of Becoming a Geek Leader. Now, over the last few months, you may have heard occasional drop-in episodes where I share quick ideas, and I talked about my new coaching program called Lead Yourself First. In Lead Yourself First, I cover 26 topics related to personal growth and development, and I decided as my gift to you, I want to offer you a sample of what's in the program. This is a free lesson. When I was recording this lesson, I had a burst of inspiration, and I realized I love this lesson so much that I just couldn't see why I wouldn't give it to you as my gift. What you're going to hear next is a sample of a 20 to 30 minute lesson on this one's on a new kind of responsibility. This is one of my favorite lessons in the program. Now, I have to admit, I love all of them, and I am kind of biased. If this lesson's a blessing to you, would you mind dropping me an email? I would love to hear from you, tom@brighthillgroup.com. Also, if you want to learn more about Lead Yourself First, check out brighthillgroup.com/LYF. My name is Tom Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. This is one of my favorite lessons in the program. It's the lesson on responsibility. What does it mean to be responsible? Now, I want to say I'm really glad you're here. Growth does not happen by accident, and you are choosing to grow by making Lead Yourself First a part of your routine. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. Eric Hoffer said, "In times of change, the learner shall inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists." Lead Yourself First is your system to help you continue to learn and develop skills that are going to help you today and every day. This is good, solid stuff, and if you will take advantage of it, you will benefit in a big way. I want to say, too, that I'm proud of you for choosing this path. You're not going to regret it. Before we jump into this lesson, I want to ask you the question I ask before every lesson. How are you going to act after this lesson's over? ACT is an acronym, stands for Apply, Change, and Teach. So what are you going to apply? What's something you can use immediately? What are you going to change? Based on what we talked about today, what are you going to do differently? And what can you teach? And I don't mean teach in front of a classroom. I mean, what's something you can share with other people? We want to be a river, not a reservoir. We want to share what we're learning on our journey. Now, I've been looking forward to this lesson. I look forward to it because I know that I was limited by my poor understanding of responsibility. I just didn't get it. And if I had, man, would it have helped me so much. It would have saved me a lot of suffering and pain. And what we're talking about today can do that for you and do it right away. Now, my commitment to you is to bring you solid material. I work to make sure I'm sharing with you the best things I can find to help you grow, the ideas and the sources that have helped me learn how to deliver at a high level. If you take this information and put it into practice, you're going to get great value from it. Now, I say that a lot about these lessons, but I'm telling you, I know from my experience and from the experience of so many others that learning these types of lessons is critically valuable. Now, today it might be enough for you just to hear these ideas, that what you need today is the seed of this idea planted in the fertile soil of your mind. Or maybe you're ready to take these ideas and absolutely run with them. And if you do, you're going to win. And maybe, just maybe, you're going to hear this today and it'll be the spark you have been waiting for, the thing that lights a fire in you. And you're going to want to invest in this idea of growth. I promise at the end of the lesson, I'm going to share with you a way to do that if you want to do that. Fair enough? So let's get started. It was almost 30 years ago. I was working in my first real job after college, and one of my clients, I don't know how she saw it, but she saw a spark of potential in me, and she gave me a gift. She gave me a copy of Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, this was back in the day when you could get audiobooks, but it was on cassette. This gift was particularly helpful to me because I was driving a ton for work all over the state, and I spent a lot of time behind the windshield. And I'm grateful that my father was a lifelong learner, and my father taught me the principle that we ought to take advantage of what Zig Ziglar called Automobile University, where we invest in ourselves while we're on the road by listening to good audio content. And I filled the hours behind the wheel listening to this audiobook, and it had an impact on me. Today, I want to share with you one of the principles that Covey taught me during that season that has stuck with me, and it's this idea of responsibility. You know about responsibility. You wouldn't be listening to this lesson if you were ignorant about responsibility. Now, I'm responsible to play my part in this deal. My job is to create these lessons, to show up when I agreed to show up, and to share them with you. And you're responsible to show up and have a positive attitude and to look at yourself and how you can win by applying what we're learning together. You're responsible to yourself to learn and grow, and that's a good thing. So we need to take responsibility. We need to take ownership of the things that we do and the things that we don't do. Psychologist Dr. Jordan Peterson says, "No one gets away with anything, ever, so take responsibility for your own life." That's rough. No one gets away with anything, ever, so take responsibility for your own life. That's rough, but it's so valuable. Let's say you got into an argument with somebody close to you. They're irrational. They flew off the handle. They blew up for no reason at all. They wronged you. They were wrong. Let me give you another example. I recently reflected on a story that my late father told me about when he was a young man. My dad needed a job, and he found a position working in a manufacturing facility doing efficiency studies. His job was to observe how workers worked and then determine what the most effective workers were doing differently so they could train the other workers to be more effective too. And one day my dad's boss came to him and said, "Tom, we have to let you go." My dad was devastated. He was a young father trying to figure out how to support his family, and he was being let go. He said they replaced him with somebody who would work for less pay. I wasn't there then. I don't know how Dad responded in that situation. But I do recall he had some hurt and bitterness about having been fired. How could they do that to him? It's just not fair. Let me give you another example. When I was a young Boy Scout, I used to be bullied by the bigger boys. They played pranks on me. They mocked me. They took advantage of their size and they walloped me in dodgeball. I was wronged. But what does being responsible mean in these examples of victimhood? Author Richard Bach said, "If it's never our fault, we can't take responsibility for it. If we can't take responsibility for it, we will always be its victim." Now, of course, there are many things in our lives over which we have no control. But if we're willing to look hard and be honest with ourselves, we may find that we played a part in the things that happened to us. Of course, we're not responsible for what other people do. But do we have a responsibility to ourselves? Did we play a part in this? Maybe it's even only a small part. What if only 5% of the issue was related to what we did? And I think that what Dr. Peterson is saying is we have to take a responsibility for 100% of our 5%, that we need to be accountable to ourselves for the part we played in the problem. And this leads me to the lesson I learned from Stephen Covey all those years ago. He said that he had a new definition of responsibility. He defined it as the ability to choose my response. My ability to choose my response. Covey said that I can't blame you for what I do or even how I respond. Author and journalist Joan Didion said, "The willingness to accept responsibility for one's own life is the source from which self-respect springs." Concentration camp survivor and psychologist Viktor Frankl said that freedom and responsibility are linked together. He said, "I recommend that the Statue of Liberty be supplemented by a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast." Covey taught that while you may control what you do to me, I control how I respond to what you do to me. That's deep. Let's pause here for just one moment to let that one soak in. Covey said that while you may control what you do to me, I control how I respond. And that means I can no longer say, "You made me mad." Not if I'm responsible. Not if I choose my response. And you might say, "But Tom, they did make me mad." Well, did they? They may have behaved in a bad way toward you. They may have done things that physically or psychologically harmed you. And you may have been powerless over that. But where you did have power was in choosing what you did, how you responded. This is a powerful thing. Covey described it as a bitter pill to swallow, a painful thing to accept. Have you ever met someone who refuses to be responsible for the things they do? Someone who refuses to accept responsibility for the things that happen to them? Now, there are people, these are people who've never heard this idea, or worse, maybe they've heard it and decided it was just too hard. They heard it and they chose to do nothing with it. Because once you understand that you choose how you respond, you have freedom. You're no longer under their control. You have true freedom. And you might say, Tom, you just don't understand how bad it was for me. You don't understand how completely I have been wronged. You're right. I don't know. And I can't know. And you probably were wronged in deep and profound ways, in ways in which you had no control. What if your nation was at war? What if you were a warfighter and were captured by cruel enemies? What if they subjected you to inhumane cruelty? What if they tortured you? Well, that's what happened to Charlie Plum. He was flying a jet fighter launched from a U.S. carrier over Vietnam when his plane was shot down. He survived the airplane crash and he found himself in a terrible situation. The U.S. military knew that his captors were abusing the people they captured. They even went so far as to tell the families of the prisoners of war that they could expect that when the POWs were returned, they would be a shadow of the men they had been, that they would be emotionally wrecked and ruined by the experiences they had. And sadly, for many of them, that was true. The same kind of thing happened to Louis Zamperini in World War II. He was shot down over the Pacific and was taken prisoner, and he suffered abuse at the hands of his captors, too. And Zamperini survived his imprisonment. A powerful part of Zamperini's story was told in the major motion picture Unbroken, a powerful story about his relentless determination to persevere. Viktor Frankl found himself a man who was part of a group his government tried to eliminate. He was arrested, subjected by his captors to demeaning experiences, and he ended up living in a concentration camp. Now, he managed to survive. In his later published works, he said, "The last of human freedoms, the ability to choose one's attitude in a given set of circumstances." Plum, Zamperini, and Frankl had things in common. They were in situations that were out of their control. They beat the odds. They survived. And none of them was limited in life to the idea that their past trauma defined their future. Each of them was able to overcome trauma and adversity. Each of them was able to become free of the weight, the burden that could have pulled them down for the rest of their lives. But instead, each of them embraced this idea that Covey documented, that we can choose how we respond in the situations in which we find ourselves. Now, I want to be clear here. I'm not trying to compare their situation with yours. When it comes to struggle and the emotional impact that people have from what they experience, it's simply unfair. In fact, it's more than unfair. It's actually impossible to compare one person's trauma with another person's. But regardless of the situation, being responsible means you choose how to respond to the things that happen to you. And when you choose the hard path, that bitter pill, it leads to freedom that you've never known. So let me go back to those smaller examples that I shared earlier in this lesson. Remember that argument that I talked about, the one where they just blew up at me? Well, if you're honest with yourself, that big fight probably wasn't entirely their fault. Perhaps you could have been more understanding, more patient, less defensive. Perhaps you chose to escalate the conflict rather than overlook their wrong against you. What if you took responsibility to yourself to do that, to challenge yourself to pause before reacting, to choose peace, forgiveness, and acceptance of the fact that they are behaving poorly and that you can choose to do the same, or you can choose another path? Now, I want to be very explicit here. I am not talking about emotionally abusive situations. If you are in an emotionally abusive relationship, you ought to get some help figuring out how to deal with that. I'm talking about here are normal relationships. We choose how we respond. Remember I was talking about my dad losing his job? It was many years after my dad was fired that he shared his story with me. And by the time he shared the story, he was older and he had gained some wisdom and some insight. I could tell by the way he told the story that he had felt betrayed and hurt, that he felt he had been wronged at the time. And I know I can recall having felt that way at work from time to time myself. But here's the thing. My dad told me, he said, "Son, I deserved to be fired. I was not working hard at all. I didn't earn my pay, and they were right to let me go." Not only that, but, and this blows me away, he went on to say, "Firing me was a gift they gave me." A gift? Are you kidding me? How can it be a gift to fire someone? He said, I needed to learn that my job was to do my job, that my showing up at work was not enough, that I needed to own my own performance and learn to really work. I was immature, and losing my job was a wake-up call for me. Actor Kevin Bacon said, part of being a man is learning to take responsibility for your successes and your failures. That's exactly what my dad had learned to do. Yes, it's a bitter pill to swallow. It's a hard thing to accept, but if we choose how we respond, it allows us to be free of being controlled by others. And remember me saying I was bullied in Boy Scouts as a kid? Sure, plastering me in the gym during dodgeball was wrong. And it was wrong of the older boys to treat me badly, and I could not control what they did to me. But if I was honest with myself, I had to admit that I was responsible, at least in part, responsible for the things that happened to me. No, I was not at all responsible for their choice to criticize or bully or persecute me. I was not responsible for that. But I was responsible for how I reacted. When I used my quick wit and my vocabulary to mock and belittle them, when I made smart remarks about their moms, or after I finished wiping away my tears, mockingly laughed at them and said, that didn't hurt. It was an act of love for a scoutmaster to come alongside me and counsel me that my mouth was a big part of the problem, that I was responsible for that and I was contributing to the problem. Until I owned my part of the problem, I just felt like I was a victim. Now, in that lesson from Covey, he went on to talk about two circles, and these two circles lead us to stress and pain or to power and freedom. He talked about where we focus our attention. These two circles are the circle of influence and our circle of concern. If our circle of concern is really large, it encloses things we can't do anything about, and it makes us victims to the asteroid that may hit the planet, to a foreign war where we may personally have no way to help, to international poverty so great we can't even begin to make a dent in it, to whether we can find a job if the economy turns down. Having a large circle of concern leads us to stress, lots of it, and victimhood. And that other circle is a circle of influence. We don't have enough influence to solve world hunger, but what if we focused our attention on the problems where we can influence an outcome? We can't solve child poverty and hunger everywhere, but what if we made a difference in one person's life? That's the kind of thing Covey's talking about, making our circle of concern close to the size of our circle of influence. And we can also increase our circle of influence as we go. Maybe we can recruit others to help us with our cause, and together we can do more. But let's talk for a moment about where you may be today. Perhaps your circle of concern is far bigger than your circle of influence. Perhaps you're worried, you're stressed, and your focus is on things that not only can't you control, but on things you can't even influence. Are you a victim today? Is there some relationship or some circumstance where you fail to take responsibility? Some situation where bad things happen and up until today you've seen it as their fault? What can you do to take ownership? What can you do to seek peace? What can you do to take action to fix it rather than merely marinate in your situation and complain about how you've been harmed? Again, I want to emphasize that if you're in an abusive situation, you need to get some help to deal with that. I don't want you to think that you should own being abused. That is absolutely 100% not what I'm saying. What Covey talked about was that we choose how we respond. We can acknowledge that what the other person is doing is destructive to our relationship with them, and it's reasonable to react angrily. And we have the power to pause and to recognize that what they did was wrong. And you're not at fault. You're not responsible for their choices. And you can choose a path that breaks the cycle, to not react, to choose the kind of life and the kind of relationship you want to have. Inspirational speaker and author Les Brown said, if you take responsibility for yourself, you will develop a hunger to accomplish your dreams. It's almost time for your personal action plan, and I just want to review a couple of items before we get there. Let's review a little of what we talked about today. First, each of us is responsible. We have responsibilities. We need to keep our commitments. We need to do what we say we will do. We need to follow through because people are watching. People are seeing if our walk matches our talk, if our work is aligned with our mouth and with what we say we value. It's hard, but it's really valuable to be known as someone who follows through. You're responsible to yourself for making sure that you set goals and you hold yourself accountable to behaviors that lead to the successes you claim you want. Covey says responsibility is about focusing our energy on our circle of influence, that area where we have the ability to make a difference. We can't fix everything, but what can we fix? What can we take ownership of? Where have we been a victim, but now we can be responsible to choose our response? So for your action plan, think about that one idea from today that you want to apply or change or teach. And maybe you're with your team as you listen to this lesson. And it's time for a group discussion. After this lesson, take a few minutes to talk with the team about what we covered. What are you doing to take responsibility, and what do you need to do next? Now, I mentioned earlier in the lesson that you might be interested in continuing to grow, maybe focusing on personal growth like this. I've got a 5-session coaching study on John Maxwell's book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. It's a fantastic and timeless resource on growth, and I would love to spend time with you or your team on this. The cost for this study is only $299 a person, and in this program, you're going to get the best of what John Maxwell has to offer in terms of personal growth. You'll have a personal program of commitment and growth that can shape your future. You'll get access to a coach to lead you through the program and give you personalized homework. You'll gain skills and insights. The question remains, will you invest in you? If that sounds interesting, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com. We'll get it set up. I want to thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I am looking forward to hearing from you next time. Hey, thanks for sticking in and listening to this bonus episode of Becoming a Geek Leader. I hope this lesson from Lead Yourself First has been a blessing to you. If you think you might like to hear more lessons like this or learn more about the program, check out brighthillgroup.com/LYF. This is Tom Cooper. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join me next time for another episode of Becoming a Geek Leader. Join me in my mission of discovering better ways to lead others at work and at home.